Page 34. The Coursera Effect. This recently launched corporation has helped online education take a giant leap forward. Christos Porios, 16, lives in Alexandropolis, a small Greek city on the Aegean Sea, about 20 miles from Greece's eastern border with Turkey. My mother's a teacher and my father's a mechanic, he explains, adding that neither is particularly knowledgeable about computers, especially compared with him. For years, he's had free rein over the family PC, and he's taken advantage of the time to teach himself programming. Last fall, as the Greek economy spiraled toward default and rioters filled the streets of Athens, Porios was glued to his computer, but not to follow the Eurozone crisis. He was taking a free class in machine learning offered by Andrew Ng, a professor at Stanford University, over an online platform Ng developed with his colleagues. Machine learning is an emerging discipline of computer science that deals with the analysis of very large data sets. Drawing on what he learned, Porios was able to participate in the International Space Apps Challenge, a virtual hackathon using data from NASA and other government agencies. He also began to play with data sets he downloaded from the World Bank website. Changing the world? If one teenager in one small city in Greece can become a genius hacker through an online course, does it mean the world has changed? We have been hearing about the disruptive potential of online education for at least a decade now. Yet over the past 6 months, online ed has taken a giant leap forward. A number of new high-profile ventures feature professors from elite universities offering free courses online. All of these courses have video and social networking components. All have attracted millions of dollars in funding. And perhaps most significantly, all have drawn initial enrollments of at least six figures. No profits. Yet. Ng's course in machine learning attracted 104,000 enrollees around the world. Ng was amazed. It would take me 250 years to teach this many people at Stanford, he says. Just 1 month into the course, Ng and his Stanford colleague, Daphne Kohler, decided to leave their tenured faculty posts and dive into online teaching full-time. They launched their company, Coursera, with a $16 million US round of venture funding. The backers will have to wait a while before they recoup their investment. If Coursera does start making money, it is unlikely to have the field to itself. Still, it is the first to offer top-drawer courses in humanities and the social sciences, a particular bugaboo for online learning in the past. It has also managed to team up with more colleges than any of its rivals, a total of 9, including Princeton, Michigan, and the University of Pennsylvania. The timing's right. The most intriguing aspect of the Coursera endeavor, however, is how quickly it promises to expand beyond a niche audience. All of the factors pushing Coursera and its competitors toward the mainstream of higher education are now crashing together. For starters, the newly minted knowledge-based economy is hitting a global slowdown, causing a spike in demand for higher education as people seek to retrain. This demand is running smack into the reality of the escalating costs of going to college and the attendant rise in student loan debt, fueling anger and desperation among students and trepidation in parents. The technology has changed, too. Broadband access is growing even in poor and middle-income countries, making online education both easily accessible and far more functional. At least 600 million people now have the ability to stream video, compared with only 300 million in 2007. To Ng and Kohler, Coursera's mission is simple and yet absurdly grand, to teach millions of people around the world for free while also transforming how top universities teach. Why not take the 75-minute lecture, Kohler asks, break it up into short pieces, and add interactive engagement into the video so that every 5 minutes there's a question? This way, every single person needs to answer the question and retrieve the information. Coursera courses are 6 to 10 weeks long with an hour or two of videos per week. They feature weekly exercises ranging from problem sets to spreadsheets to design projects or essays, and sometimes a final project or exam. Students can find each other in the Coursera forums, where they have spontaneously formed study groups by native language or time zone. The students are out there. The world's top 20 universities collectively enroll only about 200,000 undergraduates. There are, conservatively, many millions more who could participate in classwork at the highest level, and most of them are far from any of the world's leading universities. Let's say you're stuck at some no-name state college, says Kohler. Now the top 10% of students at that school have the option to take a Coursera course that could open a door to being employed at companies like Google. The most tantalizing promise of a company like Coursera is the role it might play in improving education for the world's have-nots. High school dropouts, the global poor, those less able to self-teach. Kohler tells me that only 4 months after Coursera went live with its first official classes, total registration hit 1 million. Christos Porios was one of those registrants. His hope is to someday study computer science in Germany or England. He is even toying with the idea of taking classes at MIT or Stanford, but this time in person. Vocabulary focus. Free rein. Default. Disruptive. Elite. Tenured. Backer. Niche. Spike. Trepidation. Tantalizing. Have-nots. Toy with.